89.3 WKKC. You're live with Harold Lee Rush. That's me. Dr. Rock is here. Dr. Rakak Alibiosu is our resident chiropractic physician. We call him Dr. Rock.
I want to speak on cancer because a lot of people are kind of confused about what cancer is.
Mm-hmm.
And
we actually get afraid of that word. When somebody says they got cancer, it's like some people treat a person that says they got cancer like they have an infectious disease.
Yes, well, it is a disease, but, you know, people also look at cancer as a death sentence.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's scary, you know, because you don't understand exactly what it is and how it affects the body. But, you know, with improvements in technology and also just having an understanding of what cancer is, it's important to know that, you know, just because you might be diagnosed with cancer or you might know someone who's diagnosed with cancer, that they can still survive and live very long and healthy lives.
Well, you know, that's my first question. What is cancer? Because we actually don't know and don't find out.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, for a long time, they didn't know exactly what cancer is. And we're still trying to understand the entire process of cancer, you know, because, you know, things are constantly changing. But cancer is essentially uncontrolled or out of control cell growth. So basically,
wait, say that again. Uncontrolled or out of control cell growth?
Cell growth.
Hmm.
You see, every day the human body will grow cells.
Mm-hmm.
These cells will grow, die, and are replaced. Okay? It's just a process of the body.
Yeah,
constantly.
What is it? Supposedly, the body every 35 days or something.
I'm not sure how many days, but
it's something
like
that.
Cells are constantly are dying or replaced every single day.
Okay,
it's just how the body regenerates itself.
Okay,
so cancer occurs when those cells don't die. The death process of the cell does not occur, and you have an accumulation of what's called these damaged cells. Okay.
Oh.
And what you end up having is you have a formation of lumps or masses called tumors. So that's what cancer is. It's just cells that are supposed to die that don't die, and they accumulate so much in one specific section of the body that you get these tumors or masses. And that's what most people associate, you know, when you think about cancer, tumors or masses. Now, tumors are going to be classified in two groups.
Okay.
You have what's called a benign tumor.
Okay.
And then you have what's called a malignant tumor.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Now, the two are different. Okay. A benign tumor normally has what you call limited growth. The tumor stays in one spot, and it's what you call inactive.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Whereas a malignant tumor will grow in excess, and it will keep growing, and essentially it will take over the body, okay, and take over the system. So it can cause dysfunction in, you know, the brain. It can cause dysfunction in the liver. It can cause dysfunction in the stomach, and that's essentially what kills the person. So it's not that cancer actually, the word cancer kills. It's the growth of this mass that causes dysfunction in the system that actually kills, you know, the body.
Well, you just gave me a whole new understanding of cancer. I never heard it explained that it's actually cells that keep growing that are supposed to die. That makes it look different because I had some kind of idea that it was like something alien to the body or something.
Exactly. No. It's cells. It's cells. It's an accumulation of cells that aren't supposed to be there. And so when you talk about what actually causes cancer, there's several things that cause cancer. For one, damage or mutation to your DNA can cause cancer. Why? Because when you have damage or mutation to that cell, it causes uncontrolled cell death. So basically what that means, let's say we have, you know, someone who does, you know, computer programming, right? And he's supposed to, you know, delete certain files, right?
Right, okay.
And then all of a sudden, he just keeps pressing, you know, return, and you have accumulation of this file. And it's like, you know, it's taking up all this space. You know, why is that? So cancer is essentially can occur because it's a faulty, you know, program that hasn't been deleted. And so the cell keeps growing, get that uncontrolled cell death because of an accumulation or damage to you know, the DNA. You can also get cancer from what's called carcinogens, right?
Okay, all right.
Now, that's a big fancy word, but another word for carcinogen is substances like tobacco, substances like asbestos,
right.
Arsenic, radiation. These things are known to cause damage to the cells and cause what's called free radical formation. Okay.
Okay.
Free radical formation within a cell can also cause uncontrolled cell death.
And again,
uncontrolled cell growth.
Again, something I never thought about in that way. But as you said, that radiation or these things, they damage the cells.
They damage the cells.
And I thought it was like, you know, when you talk about asbestos, I thought it was like an alien substance getting in you. And that's cancer. But now I've got a much better understanding.
Right. Yeah. It's just damage to the cell. Wow. That's all it is. Also, increase in age can cause cancer. Not that increase in your age can cause cancer. It's not that getting older causes cancer, but if a person doesn't live a healthy lifestyle, if they don't exercise and they don't eat properly, then you can cause damage. That can actually cause damage to the cells because over a long period of time, you can get a faulty cell. And in turn, you can get uncontrolled cell growth because of that. Okay. So that's why lifestyle is so important. Viruses can cause cancer. Now, one of the, you know, a common one, I know you've heard of this, Harold, is called HPV.
Oh, yes.
Human papillomavirus. Right. And this is why, you know, they've been suggesting
trying to getting the vaccine
the
down
vaccines,
to young girls, even younger than puberty, which is, to me is kind of dangerous. But go ahead.
Yes. I mean, so this virus actually causes cervical cancer, right? Because what it does is it causes a mix-up in the cell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it can cause uncontrolled cell death. Or growth and genetics. An individual's genetics might create uncontrolled cell growth because individuals can be prone to getting faulty genes from their parents.
Hmm.
So again, with lifestyle, you know, depending on how you live, that can express those genes a little bit quicker, and you can be more likely to develop certain cancers because of that. So it's important to know that. That's what cancer is. It's not, you know, some type of crazy, you know, thing.
Something alien.
Alien that you're born with. No, it's cells that are growing out of control and essentially taking over the body.
All right. Yeah, now I need to, you know, now I'm understanding a little bit better. And it can help me to understand things like prostate cancer and breast cancer and things like that, which we can talk about.
Right.
Yeah, because I know both of those are very strong in the black community.
They are.
And it's kind of deep how it's so much different than other communities.
Right. And basically what I want people to get from that first section is that cancer is cancer, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you don't essentially know where that uncontrolled cell growth is going to occur.
Okay.
You know, obviously the way it affects the body is a little bit different, but cancer is cancer.
Okay. And we shouldn't fear it. We should understand it, because in understanding it, that can allow us to even how we treat our bodies.
Treat our bodies to allow us to prevent it as much as possible.
Yeah, cool.
But, you know, it's an interesting statistic. They say that 1 in 4 individuals here in America will actually die from cancer. You know,
1 of 4. Wow.
1 in 4. So, you know, the rate of cancer, you know, in the United States is actually very high. And there's varying reasons why it's possibly so high. You know, they've done a lot of research on it. But, you know, again, you know, everyone knows someone who's had cancer, who's been affected by cancer. And so, like I said, it's just important to understand what it is, what causes it, and things that you can do to help lessen your chances of getting cancer.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that sometimes you'll have families where it'll seem to certain families will have a high rate of cancers.
Right.
And then you have other families where virtually nobody in that family will have any kind of cancers.
Exactly. And part of that has to do with environmental issues, you know, whether you're being exposed to more things that create damage to the cells, you know, exposed to more carcinogens, exposed to more you know, environmental toxins, you know, obviously those, like we said, those things are going to cause free radicals in the cells and cause uncontrolled cell death. And then also part of it is a genetic issue as well, too.
Okay.
So, you know, your parents and family what kind of genes they have. So it's important to understand that, because some cancers are highly associated with, you know, our parents and, you know, our grandparents, if they had it, whether we could possibly get it in the future. So one thing that I want to touch on briefly, because, you know, a lot of people go online and read, you know, symptoms of disease.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they kind of scare themselves. Well,
yeah.
I want to tell you that you should never diagnose yourself.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of symptoms are actually the same. You know, when your body starts to shut down, it starts to shut down. And so you have, you know, similar symptoms. But with cancer, you know, the symptoms can vary depending on where the location of the cancer is. So, you know, one of the most common things you're going to have is a loss of energy, and you're going to have probably a loss of weight. And that's because, okay, you know, the cancer, again, is kind of taking over the body.
Right.
Okay?
And the cancer is growing because it's taking all your nutrients and everything like that, right?
Exactly. Because what it does is it starts to develop its own blood supply. And so blood that's supposed to be going somewhere else is now feeding the cancer. Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it also has – it can cause altering hormonal function as well, too, which is going to affect the way your body behaves, because your hormones regulate your body. So, you know, if you have cancers of the skin – you might have what's called, like, you know, a change in your warts or the moles.
Okay.
You'll notice a change. Cancers of the liver will cause things like jaundice. Jaundice is basically a discoloration of the skin.
Okay.
Cancer of the brain can cause things like headaches, seizures, or dizziness.
Mm.
And cancers of the lungs can cause shortness of breath. So as you see, like, those symptoms are all very different depending on where the cancer is.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the most common ways in which cancer is diagnosed is through a biopsy, but also through blood work as well. So, you know, you should never try to diagnose yourself, because, like I said, how cancer affects the body is different. But I learned some interesting things about cancer in doing some research about this. First off, I want to talk about some of the most common cancers in the United States.
Okay.
Three of the most common cancers are lung cancer, breast cancer, and colon cancer. Okay.
Mm.
Now, each year you have over 200,000 cases, new cases of both lung and breast cancer.
Okay.
And lung cancer actually has probably the worst prognosis out of the 200,000 people who are diagnosed with it. More than half of them die.
And a lot of times that's smoking.
And that's related to smoking.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, you have such a big push for people to stop smoking, because they know that because of all the chemicals in cigarette smokes,
mm-hmm,
and all the carcinogens in there,
mm-hmm,
that it causes cancer. So that's, you know, that's a very important understanding for people to, you know that they know cigarettes cause cancer.
And you know, what's deep about that? That, in fact, not too long ago, talking about fining the tobacco companies because,
right,
what they did is they added chemicals and stuff to the tobacco.
Yes.
To make that it made it more addictive.
Addictive, yes.
But it also raises the probability of cancer.
Exactly. And it, you know, I watched an interesting commercial. It was actually a commercial in Thailand. It was really interesting. It was this child who was going up to adults who were smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kid would go up to the adults who were smoking and ask the adults, "Do you have a cigarette?"
Mm.
And, you know, it was kind of interesting because most of the adults told the kid, "No, you know, I don't have a cigarette, you know, and
you
shouldn't
smoke.
Be smoking."
Right.
And so at the end, the child said, "Well, if you know that smoking's so bad for me, then why would you smoke?"
Mm.
You know? And then the adults kind of had this, you know,
yes,
the dazzled look. So it's interesting that most people do know that smoking is bad for them. But again, you have these addictive chemicals in it, which makes it hard to quit.
I smoked for 35 years,
mm-hmm,
and I did various things. I even did acupuncture once trying to quit. But I didn't quit until I was ready. And when I stopped, I stopped.
Exactly.
And thank goodness when they did, you know, chest x-ray, they said my lungs were in good shape. Because that was my greatest fear, was that after 35 years, they would say, "Oh, your lungs are dead."
Yes. And, you know, Harold, the great thing about quitting smoking is after about 10 to 15 years, you can get 80% of new cell growth back in the lungs. And,
oh, wow,
you know, it's like you almost never smoked at all. So, you know, quitting is still beneficial. People think, well, you know, once I start smoking, that's it. My lungs don't come back. That's not absolutely true. You know, also another very common form of cancer, again, is prostate cancer as well, too.
Right. Especially with black men. Explain that to me.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing that I found to be interesting. There's over 241,000 new cases of prostate cancer diagnosed every year. However, only about 28,000 of those people actually die from prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So from the 240,000 people that are diagnosed, only 28,000 people will actually die from prostate cancer. And probably one of the reasons for this is the early screening and all of the education that has gone into males on prostate cancer. However, when you look at statistics in African-American males, when it comes to prostate cancer, there's a 54% death rate in African-American males versus white males.
Now, why? Okay?
Why? Well, you know, there's probably several things that account for the disparity in the death rate. For one, lack of education. Two,
lack of
medical care. And, you know, also, you know, access to, and, you know, diet as well, too. You know, all those things are going to factor into it. So, you know, when you look at the comparison of African-Americans, you know, the most common forms of cancer in African-American males are lung, prostate, and colon. And in African-American women, it's lung, breast and colon,
right.
You know? And so, again, when you compare the death rate of breast cancer in African-American women versus white women, again, it's higher. You know, African-American women, about 32% that are actually diagnosed will die versus 23% of white women. So, you know, there is a disparity as far as the death rates of cancer. So most people, it's important for us to understand that cancer exists, but it's not necessarily a death sentence. And that's why early detection is so important, and prevention on top of that is important as well, too, to decrease, you know, the death rate.
And real quick, you mentioned colon cancer in both situations. And one of the things that I know from a little bit of research I've done is that they have found that countries where they don't eat a lot of red meat have very low colon cancer rates.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, if you think about what your colon does, it eliminates waste.
Right.
Okay, so if you have a lot of waste sitting inside of the colon, then you can have changes of the cells in the colon, especially if that meat is what you call fatty meat, or that meat has been genetically altered.
Ooh.
You know, all those things can affect the cells of the colon.
Right, and meat is one of the substances that it takes a long time to fully digest.
It does. It takes a long time to fully digest, especially the way in which you eat meat and the combination in which you eat meat, you know, whether you're eating it with, you know, drinking a lot of sugary drinks,
man.
Or all that stuff affects the entire digestion process. So it's important to understand that. And, you know,
we got work to do.
We do have some work to do.
Wow. Okay, Dr. Rock, now next week you're going to take us even further, but hopefully folks who are listening today, we got some good information, and hopefully we also hopefully got rid of some of the fear.
Right.
Because that's the most important thing, and maybe if we talk about it with each other more and people share, you know, if you heard something today that enlightened you, share that information, and especially that part about not trying to diagnose yourself. I know folks like that.
Yes.
They'll watch something on TV and they say, oh, I got that.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, oh, I wonder if I got so-and-so cancer. I wonder if I got cancer of the knuckles or whatever. Yeah. And you know, that's the worst thing in the world is to start thinking negative.
Yes. And that's something that we will touch on, too, because people's perspective on their cancer actually affects their ability to heal, too.
Well, now that I understand is cells that, you know, we can affect, you know, that's part of metaphysics, mind over matter. We can affect our bodies.
Exactly.
So how we think about it is important.
Exactly. We're going to talk about how cancer is diagnosed, because it's very important in the diagnosis of cancer in order to treat it, especially if you can diagnose it at its earlier stages. Now, one of the most common ways cancer is diagnosed is through basic imaging, okay?
Okay, when you say imaging, it's like x-rays? Or
x-rays, okay. It could be a CT scan, it can be an MRI, PET scan, or even an ultrasound. Basically, what that's doing, it's looking at the mass or the tumor and seeing where it's actually located. Okay? So that's one of the most common ways to diagnose cancer. After you imaged or after you actually visualize the tumor or the mass, the next way that cancer is diagnosed is through an actual biopsy.
Right.
Harold, do you know what a biopsy is?
Yeah, I had one once.
Okay. So in a biopsy.
Yeah, I ain't going to tell you where, but it hurt.
That's when they take a clip.
Yeah, like
they actually take a live sample of the tumor, mm-hmm. and they put it under a microscope, and they basically look at the sample to see if it's cancerous cell growth.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another way in which you actually confirm you have cancer. Cancers can also be diagnosed through looking at blood samples as well, too.
Mm.
So doctors can take your samples of blood, look at certain proteins or fats or even certain chemical markers that are in your blood mm-hmm. and determine if you have cancer. For instance, prostate cancer is associated with a protein called PSA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Right. That's what I had, PSA test.
Right.
Test.
And so they're looking at that to see if you have cancer.
And that's
so,
what caused me to have to get the biopsy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why it hurt.
Yeah.
But it wasn't cancerous.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are the main three ways in which cancer are diagnosed, through imaging, through blood samples, and also through a biopsy. Okay. Once it's determined that someone might have cancer, the next thing is beginning treatment. And I want to talk about some of the conventional treatments of cancer, obviously, because it's important to understand that, because most people that are diagnosed with cancer will have the conventional treatments. But before treatment begins, it's important to know that there are different stages of cancer.
Okay.
Now, cancers are normally categorized in four stages, 0 to 4, okay?
Huh.
Now, the number, what that basically indicates is the size of the tumor, whether the tumor has spread to the lymph nodes, or if the tumor has spread to other organs, okay?
Okay.
So that normally...
Now, ahead. When you say spread to the lymph nodes, what would that mean?
The lymph nodes basically help circulate your entire immune system.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they hit the lymph nodes, then it can compromise your whole immune system.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's important to know what stage a tumor is in before you actually start to treat it.
Okay.
If a tumor is in stage 1, then that means it's curable, or it's more likely to be curable, and it's a smaller size tumor. If a tumor is in stage 4, that means it's a lot larger. It's most likely spread to the lymph nodes, and it's spread to other organs, and it's not going to be treatable. It's untreatable.
Because what do they call that? They don't say terminal. What do they call it?
They usually say stage 4, right?
Stage 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stage 4. So, you know, it's important to understand the different stages, and that's why diagnosis is so early. If you can catch cancer in stage 1, it's easier to treat versus catching it in stage 4.
I have a question, Dr. Rock. Is that any type of cancer, or are there more aggressive cancers, no matter what stage you can't catch it in?
Certain cancers are a little bit more aggressive, but it's still dependent on the stages.
Okay.
It's still dependent on the stage. Okay. Like I said, the earlier you catch it, the easier it is. But certain cancers have what's called a higher prognosis as far as being fatal. You know, so you know they grow faster.
Okay.
So it's important to understand that. So when we talk about conventional type therapies, these are the basic therapies in which most people go through
mm-hmm.
when they receive cancer treatment. And the oldest includes surgery. You know, basic removal.
Try and cut it out.
You know, try to cut it out. You have radiation, and basically what that is using radio beams or gamma beams to destroy the cancerous cells. You know,
okay.
You have chemotherapy.
Now, and a lot of times I hear people doing them both, but what is chemo as opposed to radiation?
Chemotherapy is essentially a cocktail of chemicals that are designed to kill damaged cells. Unfortunately, though, they also kill healthy cells at the same time.
Okay.
And so does radiation. So
that's what I thought.
Normally when people start getting therapy, they get a combination of radiation and chemotherapy. But they give you some time in between to try to let your body recuperate in between therapies before they go on and do the therapy again, because you want to let your body regenerate some. Because
it really does take a lot out of you.
It does take a lot out of you. You also have what's called hormone therapy.
And that's
basically hormones. If you can alter the production of certain cancerous hormones, then you can lessen the chance of the further progression and actually stop the cancerous growth. Examples of that would be, you know, breast cancer is associated with estrogen. You know, so if you can alter the amount of production of estrogen, you can decrease breast cancer or slow breast cancer down. Prostate cancer is associated with testosterone. So, you know, they alter these hormones in order to, you know, slow the cancerous growth
down. I've never
heard
that.
Yes.
Well, you know, once I understood that it's that cancer is cells that should have died but didn't, and they keep growing, it gave me a whole different picture about cancer. And I can understand, all right, well, especially when we're talking about breast cancer, we've got hormone, we've got cells that keep on growing.
Right.
So if you can slow down the growth of these cells, which you know, they should have died, but they didn't, then, yeah, I can see that being a better treatment in the long run than chemo and radiation.
Exactly. Right, but you never hear doctors give you that option or explain it to you. All you ever hear about is either chemo or radiation or something to that sort.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I do hear about them trying to go in and cut it out first.
Right, and cutting it out. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because that's what happened with the Cardinal.
Exactly.
I think they cut it out the first time, but then it came back. Or a different cancer, they think. And that the second time he had chemo and radiation.
Right.
And he says now he's cancer free.
Right.
Yeah.
And also now what you have is what's called immunotherapy. And that's basically stem cell therapy. I know there's starting to be a lot more publicity on stem cell therapy. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I don't really understand
how it works. Right. I know Michael J. Fox is a big stem cell advocate.
Right.
As you know, to explain it as easy as possible, stem cells are essentially cells, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to place healthy cells into the human body to allow the regeneration process and the regrowth process and the rejuvenation of those damaged cells.
But how does it hit the cancer cells, though?
Because they specifically place them in the body to allow them to target those cancerous cells.
Taking
them from, you know, sometimes they take them from the embryo,
right,
the placenta,
right,
you know, right. There's different ways in which they've been doing it. But it's a new therapy, and it's starting to get a lot more publicity.
Ooh, and it's kind of creepy, though.
It's interesting. It's, you know, new science for sure.
Yeah.
And then there's what you call gene therapy, and that's just replacing damaged genes with healthy genes. So
isn't that what Robin Roberts did?
I believe.
Well, I know they did bone marrow transplant, but I think she had some gene therapy
I thought I heard something about that.
Which, again, is the cause from the chemo that she was taking
for
the cancer.
Right.
Then she got the side effects. Now she has to go through the bone marrow, had to go through the bone marrow transplant.
Exactly. So those are your basic conventional therapies. Some of the non-conventional therapies that actually prove to be beneficial, and they're using this at like Cancer Treatment Centers of America, would be things like massage therapy, meditation, acupuncture, you know, aromatherapy, and even chiropractic. You know, all these things are beneficial in stimulating the immune response of the body, helping to kind of relax you, put you in a better mental state, and
so that you can cure yourself.
So you can cure yourself, yes, and increasing the flow of energy. So now these type of therapies are starting to be used in conjunction with, you know, the conventional therapies. But probably the best way to prevent cancer is through lifestyle. You know, and we talked about that last week. If you're a smoker, stopping smoking, you know, decreases your risk of developing lung cancer by 50-60%. You know, stopping drinking alcohol decreases your risk of liver cancer. You know, and doing things in your diet are extremely beneficial in decreasing the risk of cancer. So I just want to give people a couple of recommendations that have actually been shown to decrease the risk of cancer and improve the body's immune response. And these are some of the things that we've mentioned before, but I'm going to keep mentioning it again and again and again until
repetition.
People continue to do these things on a daily basis. So when we talk about foods, there's 9 things that you can do.
Okay.
1, spices, okay? So spices like turmeric, ginger, and cinnamon are all great anti-inflammatories.
Okay.
Help to reduce the risk of cancer. So if you cook with these, it's a great thing. Harold, what I've been doing recently, which I really enjoy, I normally, you know, I lift a lot, so I drink a protein shake. And in the protein shake, I'll add cinnamon to it.
I was just going to ask if there's going to be cinnamon.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, so good. It gives it like a nice, you know, warm. I don't know how to, it's really comforting, but it tastes really good. But you can sprinkle cinnamon over your oranges.
I put it on chicken.
It tastes really good. Yeah. So, you know, you can use these herbs in your different foods and spices.
I think turmeric. I think you can find that. I think, is it curry? Curry.
Curry, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of Indians and Asians and Africans, they eat a lot of curry.
Right.
Things like berries, you know, blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, again, high antioxidants.
Okay.
High in antioxidants reduce the risk of cancer.
Okay.
Your greens. Broccoli is one of the best to help reduce the risk of cancer.
Yeah, and don't overcook it.
Yes.
Don't overcook all the stuff out.
Yep.
Yeah, but but there's ways to reduce the gas.
There's definitely. You can, for one, try to eat them in combination with just meat without adding carbohydrates, or you can take digestive enzymes to help to break them down if you have issues breaking them down.
Okay.
But broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, all those things have been shown to reduce the risk of cancer.
Okay.
Okay. Green tea.
Ah, okay.
Great antioxidants. You know, in places like Japan, where there's green tea predominantly grown, it's been shown to reduce the risk of cancer. People who drink green tea all the time. And even in Asia, you know, so incorporating green tea in the evening.
I drink green tea.
It's a great way to reduce your risk of cancer. Nuts. We talked about that. Things like walnuts.
I know there's a lot of nuts in my neighborhood.
Walnuts, macadamia nuts, you know, great.
What about pistachios?
You can incorporate some pistachios. Okay. Yeah. All those things.
Almonds?
Almonds you can incorporate too.
Almonds are good for a lot of things, though.
Yeah. Mm. Beneficial. Extremely beneficial. Getting your omega-3 fatty acids. So eating fish.
Okay.
Okay. Whether it be sardines or tuna. Or different freshwater fishes, high in omega-3 fatty acids. You can even supplement those things.
I had 2 cans of sardines just yesterday for lunch.
I haven't had sardines in so
sardines.
Long. I have to get some sardines. I haven't had them in a long time.
My dad loves sardines. He'll like make this sardine and egg omelet.
Really?
Yeah. He'll do that all the time.
That's deep.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
I don't know about the egg omelet, but I did have crackers.
And then the last few things are mushrooms. Mushrooms are great absorbents. You know, when you talk about mushrooms like shiitake mushrooms, great in reducing the risk of cancer. Apples. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know, that saying goes a long way, you know, because it helps. For one, you're getting all that extra fiber, but it's the nutrients in the skin, which has actually been shown to reduce the risk of certain colon cancers and intestinal cancers.
Okay.
And then flaxseed. Flaxseed. We've heard about all the benefits of flaxseed. Again, flaxseed is high in omega-3 fatty acids.
I have to figure that one out. I haven't really dealt with flaxseed, so I guess I'm going to have to get some and just...
I haven't bought it, but I do have, like at home, just last night for dinner, I had cereal for dinner last night, but I had flaxseed cereal.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. You can buy it in the grocery store.
Yeah. You can put flaxseed in your muffins. Hmm. You can put flaxseed in your shakes. You know, there's many ways. I know some people that make, like, flaxseed chips.
Oh?
Yeah.
Because it's part of the smoothie... menu that I do too, put flaxseed, to add flaxseed to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Just, you know, so all these things can really help to decrease the risk of cancer. But again, understanding what cancer is and how it affects the body is very important. Now, when we talk about myths about cancer, I'm just going to briefly talk about certain myths. For one, cancer is not contagious. Okay.
Right. No, and a lot of people actually do believe that. They actually do.
It is not contagious. You know, now it's true that there's certain viruses that do cause cancer, but those viruses are normally contracted through unprotected sex or the use of needles. You know, when we talk about things like hepatitis B causing liver cancer or cervical cancer caused by HPV in women or men, you know, but again,
but cancer itself is not contagious.
Okay. You know, another myth about cancer is that, you know, for something like breast cancer, they think that most people think that only women can contract breast cancer.
But men can,
get breast cancer.
You know, the first man that I knew about that got breast cancer, Shaft.
Was he?
Yes.
Did he have?
Yes, Richard Roundtree. Wow. Yes, Roundtree. He did. Yep. Yes, he did. Yep.
Okay. He had developed breast cancer. I was like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah, men can get breast cancer. Another myth about breast about cancer is that it's fatal. You know, not all cancer is fatal, especially when you catch it early in the early stages, you know. And actually, if you catch it in its early stages, you have a 60% survival. There's a 60% survival rate.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, people do survive cancer, okay? Just because you get cancer does not mean you're going to die, and that's why your attitude is so important.
All right.
And then the last one is that, you know, cancer is painful. You know, not all cancer is painful. Sometimes
I have heard that.
You don't have any symptoms at all, and sometimes it goes undetectable. And so that's why that going in and getting checkups is important.
Yeah, because I have heard of stories where people will have like a huge tumor and they didn't realize it. And it's like they'll go in and operate and pull out, you know, a 7-pound tumor. And they say, didn't you feel anything? No, I didn't feel anything unusual.
Exactly. Wow. And I just want to touch on one more myth. Okay. And like, you know, just because someone in your family died of a certain cancer or your mom or your dad died of a certain cancer doesn't mean that you will too. Okay. You know, so that's nothing that you have to stress yourself out about. You know, yes, the likelihood of developing certain cancers are a little bit higher than others if they're in the family, but that doesn't mean that you're going to die from that type of cancer. And that's why lifestyle is so very important, you know, when you talk about decreasing your risk for cancer.
All right.
Good job.
Yes. All right, Dr. Rock, where can people get in touch with you, or how can people get in touch with you?
Again, you can follow me on my blog. It's www.drraq.com. That's www.drraq.com.